Just close your eyes right now. Say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit.
I want to do it your way.
I want to do it your way.
I don't want it to be my way.
So I have ears,
and they do hear.
And they do hear.
I have eyes, and they do see.
And
I have a heart that perceives that my Heavenly Father
truly loves me.
He sent His Son
because He loved the world.
It's not trying to hate everybody
or correct everybody.
He's trying to love
me.
This day.
Just the way that I am.
And P.S. Lord,
I remind you of your word.
Your love never fails.
Amen.
Romans 12, verse 1. You know, verse 1 is the one I want you to concentrate on, but we're going to start with 2. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's preceding the next statement. The renewing of your mind is necessary, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For each and every one of us. So being transformed is to be changed. You'll also find that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. You don't really need to go there. You just recognize that the Holy Ghost is trying to get through to us. But then verse 1 says, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. What was His mercy? It was to really let His Son take our place. In view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And then it says, this is your spiritual act of worship. And I know the Amplified says more, but the concentration is on a spiritual act of worship. Well, when the Holy Spirit was speaking, as I earlier shared with you, the young pastor from Canada, he made a comment about, we say, I am going to allow. But as soon as the pressure starts, we usually try to run or escape. And we have a hard time receiving instructions when we're running. So the concentration of allowing ourselves to be carrying our cross and letting Him, you know, nail us to it is really another form of being tied to the altar. It's basically the same message. But He was tying them together in such a way to let us know that we do have a part to play. There are some actions that are required. And you cannot ask a baby to tie him or her down and think that you're going to get away with it for a long time. All right? Agreed? Why? Because a baby gets restless. And you take today's car seats, and they put these children into such a, I would call it a stranglehold. Okay? It is so tight that literally it hurts me to have to tie them in there. Because they get restless. They get antsy. You and I get antsy.
Amen.
But there's no consideration for the child. And if he wails and cries, you have to get off the highway and put that child in your arms to console, to feed, to do whatever needs to be done. Well, I need to tell you that my new great-great-great-great granddaughter has arrived 4 days early. Gabriella has a new silicone baby for her birthday. That's all she wanted. It is so lifelike, so real, and it weighs 6.5 pounds, and of course it was here, it came to church yesterday, and laid on the altar, etc. And it looks absolutely perfect. Okay? So we had to go to the place where they sell clothing for babies because this baby came without clothing. So we went shopping, the great-grandmother and I, and we went to the secondhand place there where they bring children's clothes and which been around once or something like that, or they, you know.
Once upon a child.
Which is kind of cool.
Yes, it is.
We had never been in there. Well, we had to buy her a pink and black outfit with little polka dots, a pair of pants, and then, of course, she needed a jacket because it's winter. And so we got all those things, and of course, the minute we got into the car, she was so excited she wasn't touching the ground. And of course, then we went into all kinds of other discussions. And she obviously now is going to have a car seat. And we thought maybe we could get a secondhand car seat, but it's against the law. You cannot buy a car seat that is for even a doll. So, you know, I mean, that's pretty serious stuff. And of course, she needs a carriage or a stroller and so on and so forth. So we're on a quest for something of those things. But what I can truly say is this. She's a great little mom. Really a great little mom. She's doing a great job. But, you know, I'm looking at an 11-year-old, and we talked about all the things that go through the needs for that baby. Okay? She even had to go to the dollar store and buy a new bottle because that baby bottle had to be perfect. And,
yeah.
You know, it was all the things that are needed. And I'm of course, I can't be a grandfather without teasing her a little bit. So I did that. And, of course, she looks at me like, please, like, you know, get off my case. But I'm reminded of the Heavenly Father who looks at us and probably says the same thing, you know. Because we tell him to get off our case. Because he's really trying to get our attention in different ways. Because he works with all of us, but in different ways. He zeroes in and gets through to us, no matter how thick we think we are. He has a way of getting through. And when we have this cross that we are carrying, and sometimes we get discouraged and probably try to wiggle it away, if it's tied to us, what's going to happen? You can't run because it's going to go with you. And, you know, the gift of that cross is not something that we want sometimes because we'd like to have that freedom. Just like that child would like to wiggle out of that horrible confinement because they get antsy and they get, you know, tired. Tired of being strapped in. I mean, just put yourself, you know, you've got the mind of Christ. Put yourself in one of those car seats and how well would you do with a 100-mile trip? You probably would be the first to crab and say, what am I doing? How and why did they put me in here? So if it can happen to a child, and you try to watch that child not wiggle and just rest with it, you're out of your tree. That child is going to do everything it can just to readjust their fanny, readjust their stomach or whatever that's not behaving. Their arms are restless. They cannot move. Are you ready to be tied to that degree, to the cross, that God has prepared just for you and me? I can say, we can say amen, but I guarantee you, you're halfway home and you're already going to say, can we get rid of one of the straps? Can we loosen up a little here? I can't move my leg. My foot's falling asleep.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. What I'm trying to tell you is you're going to have to cry out for grace every step of the way. And if you don't cry out for grace, you're going to get antsy.
Amen.
Okay? And you're going to get irritated and irritable.
Amen. Amen.
Do you think God knows it?
Yep.
Yes. Amen.
Has he provided a way?
Yes.
So the living sacrifice that he's calling us to do, he already knows we can't do it on our own. And when I was brought up, I was tied to the cross, understanding that Holy Ghost wasn't a part of my life, and he couldn't be called upon because I didn't know him. When I bowed my knee and accepted Jesus, I told you the week after I did it again because I thought I did it wrong. Okay? I blamed myself. There was no, there's now no condemnation because I didn't know such a thing was even available. But when I really got the following week, the third week after I was born again, and did I know I was born again? Did I understand the term? No. I knew I had knelt down twice, 2 weeks in a row, in February 1967. Tells you my age. But the bottom line is, God put me in my little car seat, if you wish. And he said, even if you wiggle, I will be with you. I remember ordering a Bible, and I had so much patience at the time that I went to the local drugstore and bought a $3 Good News. And I began to read for myself, but since it wasn't a Catholic-approved Bible, there was always a question as I was reading. Because after all, the one that's got the imprimatur, okay, from, you know, the local bishop, then, you know, it's going to be the real word. And I can remember when it finally came in, which took about 2 months to get the correct version so that I could really read what I was supposed to believe in. Well, when I took it home, I laid it on the coffee table. It was one of those fancy models, you know, and all the fancy colors and so on. And it was so holy that I could remember kind of shaking, trying to pick it up, you know. And I was starting to read the Gospel of John. And to my biggest surprise, that the Good News one and the Catholic version basically said the same thing. Well, now that was just, you know, mind-boggling to me. So the more I read, the more that I got hungry for more. But it was on my spare time. 10 years later, at 37 years old, 1977, Holy Ghost came into my life. I was so intent on getting that word inside of me that I was up, I would say, about 20 hours out of 24. Because I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would start reading and it was coming alive off the page. That was the difference. I was in that same baby seat, if you wish, tied up, couldn't move, But you know what? The comforter had come in. Mm-hmm. It was no longer a problem that those straps were on my shoulders and on my legs and on my fanny. And I couldn't even move my rear end for 30 seconds. It wasn't a problem anymore. There was a joy in my heart. Holy Ghost had come in. It was no longer work to study the Word. It was a pleasure. And guess what? I became a fanatic. I was so full of love for God, and His love for me had finally penetrated me, that I understood what Billy Graham had spoken to me 10 years before. Why does it take so long for us to catch on that God's got a plan? And He's not going to fail. Even if we wiggle, He's not going to fail. And you know, the ultimate goal is to allow the Holy Spirit His way with you. And you need to give Him permission. And you need to ask for help. Humble yourself. I can't do this on my own, God. Please, Holy Spirit, I need more grace. I need more favor. I haven't got enough. I know I can't make it up that next incline because I got this cross behind me. And it won't matter if you try to wiggle, because he knows your capacity. And He'll give you the grace that you need to make it to the finish line. And the ultimate goal is to see the nations change. That's the purpose for you and me, to grow up and mature and be what He's called us to be, because every single one of us have a place where we will be used. With that prayer that I had my great-granddaughter speak yesterday, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. May you reach the purpose for which you were created. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
May you have courage above your peers.
Amen.
May you have more passion for the things of God than others think is necessary.
Yes, Lord.
May you dream more than others think is practical.
Yes.
May you expect more than others think is possible.
Amen.
May you choose wisely without earthly bias.
Amen.
You have people to influence that you have not yet met.
Amen.
You have lives to change that are awaiting for your arrival.
Amen.
Even today. Amen.
Amen.
You are strategically placed wherever God takes you by His grand design, just so that you can become everything that He made you to be. That place is the place that you can grow best. That place is the place that you can be most fruitful. The place that the future is changed because of your presence. May you see vistas that others don't even know exist. Truly, I say, even dreams and visions that you've never had before. May you see God in every petal of every flower and every blade of grass, for each of them are designed by His hand. May you bless your children, and may they become giants in the faith under the mighty hand of God. You will not fail. You were made by God to be here for such a time as this. Amen. And yes, you are strapped in and you're going for the long ride.
Amen.
So, lift one hand to the Lord and say, Father,
Father,
this word is for me.
This word is for me.
And I'll carry the word.
And I'll carry the word.
And carry my cross.
Because
it's strapped on to me.
Give me a reminder when I get weary.
That I will make it to the finish line. And it's going to be done by grace.
And more grace.
And more favor.
And more favor
than I've ever had before.
Than I've ever had before.
I give you praise, Lord.
I give you praise, Lord.
For those that are struggling.
For those that are struggling.
That are out there wondering. Will they make it?
Will they make it?
Father.
Father.
We shout grace.
We shout grace.
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 Grace. Grace.
To the mountain of human obstacles.
The mountain of human obstacles.
That are trying to pull them away.
That are trying to pull them away.
Pull them in, Lord.
Pull them in, Lord.
Get them where they need to be.
Get them where they need to be.
And if they belong here.
And if they belong here.
Give them a hunger.
Give them a hunger.
Create it.
Create it.
And create it for the legal people.
And create it for the legal people.
Of this area.
Of this area.
All those in authority.
All those in authority.
Bless them right now.
Bless them right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And let the Pioneer Valley.
And let the Pioneer Valley.
Be a pioneer. For the good news.
For the good news.
In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.